had decided to resign from pastoring there in Seward, which he... How many years did you pastor there again, brother?
32 total.
32 years there at Resurrection Bay Baptist Church. And prior to that, his dad was the pastor as well. And I still remember the first time I actually met you. It was actually at the warehouse, but then down at your church was the next time down there at a preacher's conference you did down there. And, but brother, I really appreciate it, you know, since you retired, your help in the villages, the different missionaries, and it's just been a joy to watch. It was certainly needed, and thank you for that. I do appreciate it. And along those lines, I don't know if Michael Mann are going to be here next Sunday or not. I doubt it, but they are here now. But listen, my time with you, I really enjoyed. You guys are doing a great job out there. I left the church when I got back, but you guys really are. I appreciate what you guys are doing. And Michael's coming in now. I'm not going to say it again. You can tell him later. All right, Brother Kelly, come preach to us.
Thank you, preacher. I ditto that. One of my favorite places to go every winter so far. Last couple years have been Michael and Amanda's there in Unalakleet. God would allow me, I would just stay there with them. What a wonderful ministry. Ladies, thank you for singing that song, People Need the Lord. As we travel and you see broken hearts, broken people. Dealing with a preacher's son that wrapped up in sin and wickedness of this world and hearing his daddy's broken heart. Regardless of where we travel, where it's lower 48 or up here, God has people everywhere and the devil's attacking everywhere. And God's people need truth. They need hope. They need help. They need the balm of Gilead. They need Jesus. And our hope and prayer is that God will use us in the years that we have left to make a difference in people's lives. Churches like you that support us, allow us to go. I mean, it just seems like we're living a dream. Someone said, where do you live? And I keep telling them, well, we live wherever we're staying next. And, you know, we're on continual, just from place to place. We do have an apartment in Dayton, Ohio, with Brother Siler's church there. We haven't stayed there yet, but we do have an apartment there. We're going to probably try to look at the apartment again this in a couple of days. But already, we were planning on staying there in meetings around 2 weeks, and now those weeks have kind of got moved. But we are so thankful for what God's allowed us to do. It was just out in Shagaluk, Alaska, 92 people, 15 kids in the school. 10 of them came out to Vacation Bible School. Most of the village we got to meet by either playing volleyball with them or we had a couple of church services, and they came out to the church services. The field is ripe and ready to harvest. We need laborers. We need folks to go. And I'm so excited about what's happening. Brother Warren, I know he was here Wednesday night. Loved being in St. Mary. I could go there too. What a wonderful, wonderful group of missionaries we have right now, especially Western Alaska. Boy, if you can just see the Wassons and even Brother Job Hale and the work that they're doing and all that God's allowing them to be a part of. There are 9 new villages this year that have never had a Vacation Bible School that's having them go on right now. And it's just exciting. Prison work this past week. Appreciate some of you were there. Thank you, Miss Ruth, for playing the piano. I don't see Brother Greg. He might be at prison tonight. And, boy, I've enjoyed spending the week with Brother Jacobs. And so far, this morning, Coulter sent me a message saying they had 62. We've had 62 total saved. I didn't get to see all of those saved. But, boy, I was get to be a part of it. And just to go in to preach in a place where people are hurting and they need hope, they need help, they need healing, and the doors that God is opening up, I am so excited to see. If you'll take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 26, thank you again for your faithfulness, your consistency. I'm excited for teen camp, and one of my favorite things of the year is always teen camps. Anytime I get the opportunity to preach at a youth conference or a teen camp, God opens the doors. I'm excited to see young people that want to serve the Lord. Ladies, that was a wonderful song, and I hope that'll be your heart, that people need the Lord. You never lose that. And as you take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 26, the Lord laid this message on my heart to preach here back when I knew I was coming. And it's simply Matthew 26, just basically 3 types of believers, and you're going to fit in one of these 3 types of believers. The Bible says in Matthew 26:20, now when evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Could you imagine? You're at the table with Jesus. And he looks out at you as he's eating with you and talking with you. And he looks at you and he says this. One of you are going to betray me. How would that make you feel? What would that make you think? If you look at verse 22, the Bible says, and they were exceeding sorrowful. And began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? None of them thought of the impossibility that it could not be them. Matter of fact, all of them had the humbleness of a heart to look at Jesus and say, Lord, is it I? I hope I never get so prideful, so boastful, so full of myself that I'm sitting in the service and as the preacher preaches, I'm going to say, boy, I'm sure glad so-and-so was here. No, Lord, is it I? Lord, what is it that you have for me? God, how is your word going to speak to me tonight? In verse 23, and he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. Look, if you would, down in verse number 33. And Jesus began to talk with him about what he must suffer. And Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended of thee, the Bible says, offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. I don't know about you. I don't know if you're picking up what Jesus is laying down here, but he's laying down some pretty hard stuff. Somebody's going to betray me. And Peter, by the way, you think you're going to stand before the cock crows three times you're going to deny me. And notice in verse number 35, and Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. You should underline that. All the disciples. Then cometh Jesus to them into the place called Gethsemane. And he said unto the disciples, sit ye here. Why go yonder? Why go pray yonder? And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Notice the Bible says Jesus began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. It's above and beyond what normal sorrow looks like. It's exceeding sorrowful. Notice the Bible says, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further. Luke says he went a stone's throw away and he fell on his face. And he prayed saying, Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And he saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And they came and found them, and he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Go ahead and jump down to verse 47. It says, And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said unto him, and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wheresoever art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. You know, somebody has said it this way. There are three groups of people in church. Now, I know tonight there are more than just these three, but For the message's sake and what we see in the Scripture, I just want to look at three. There are those in church that make it happen. I know what setting up a church camp and working at church camp and all the labor that goes into it, and there'll be folks that'll just show up and, boy, they'll enjoy it. They'll have their opinion, and then they'll go home, and then those folks will tear it down, and you have those that make things happen. I pastored long enough to know that there are that group of people who just watch things happen. And then there's that group of people who's wondering, what is happening? There's a group here today that would be the plus-plus crowd. They would say something like this: I can do it, and you can do it, and let's get it done. There's a plus-minus crowd: I can do it, and you can't do it, so get out of my way, and I'll do it. And then there's the minus-minus crowd: I can't do it, and you can't do it. Whoever brought it up to begin with? Whose idea was this? But I want to call your attention to three groups of people tonight in our passage. Very distinguished groups of people in our scripture. First of all, I want to call your attention to this one named Jesus. In Matthew 26, verse number 39, the Bible says, "And he went a little further, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.'" Jump down to verse 42, "And he went away again the second time, and he prayed, saying, 'Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done.'" This picture is of the man tonight that is all in. This picture is a man who has surrendered all. This picture of the one who is selfless, he's desiring to be in the center of God's will, regardless of the consequences, regardless of the circumstances. He wants to do the will of the Father. Understand, even if it means suffering, even if it means shame, even if it means a great heaviness, whatever the cost, Lord, I desire to be with you. I would ask you tonight, are you somebody that would be accused of desiring to be with Him? How important is your time with God? How important is your time with the Father? How important is your prayer time? How important is your Bible time? How important is He to you tonight? Is He somebody who when we need Him, we call 911? Is He a 911 God? Is He hey, there's an emergency, God, I need you now, come, Lord, hurry up. Or is He somebody you long to get apart and just spend time with Him? Has God ever spoke to you? Be still and know that I am God. When's the last time you got along and you heard His voice and you knew it was God and His presence was so real? You couldn't help but weep. You couldn't help but be thankful. You couldn't help but sing. You couldn't help but rejoice. When's the last time you got alone with God and He was so real to you? Oh, we see Jesus, and He's a picture of somebody who wants to do the will of the Father. It's a picture of selflessness. Not my will. See, we want to get along with God as long as God is doing what we will and what we want and what we think is success and what we think is, what will make us happy and what will bring joy. And no. He said, "Father, not my will, but thine. Boy, I've seen it many times in the years of pastoring. People say, "Oh, to Jesus I surrender all, to Him I freely give. I surrender all." They'll sing from the top of their lungs until He asks them to surrender all. The doctor gives them the call and they say, "Oh, no, not me, God. Don't ask me to do that. Don't ask me to go through that." And God said, "I've got a purpose. I don't waste pain. I've got a plan for your life. You want to spend time with me? You want to be used by me? This is how I'm going to choose to use your life." Who are we to look to the Creator and say, "God, I don't like your plan. I don't like your design. I don't like your desire for my life. God, I had better plans. I had better dreams. God, if you just listen to me for a minute." Most of the time, if you look at your prayer life, I can tell you whether you're selfish or selfless. I can tell you whether, it's all about you or it's about Him. I can tell you tonight, when you look at your prayer life and you began to write, you say, how can you do that? Because when I went through this in my own life, I was amazed at how selfish, self-centered, self-serving I could be. All in the name of Jesus. All in the name of serving God. Boy, as we look at this tonight, I want you to see some things. He went a little further and he fell on his face. Remember, he's extremely heavy. He understands this is horrible. This is exceeding sorrowful in his life. And he surrenders the exceeding sorrowful moment to him. Second group of people I want you to see tonight is Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. It would be James and John. Look, if you would, in Matthew 26, verse 36, the Bible says, then comes Jesus with them into the place called Gethsemane. And he saith unto his disciples, stay ye here, and I'll go pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And then he saith, then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. Not only could you look upon him and see him as he begins to be sorrowful and very heavy, understand, he now is telling them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Watch this in your Bible. Notice in verse number 38, tarry ye here and watch with me. He tells this group of disciples, even unto death. And he says, I want you to stay right here, and I want you to do something with me. With me. This is the group of men that were up on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is the inner circle, if you would. This group of men, God pulls aside, and he says, listen, I'm going to go through the most exceeding sorrowful moment up to this point in my ministry upon this earth, and I'm going to go before the Father, but I want you to watch with me. You should underline that, with me. Very few times will you find in Scripture, very few times will you find Jesus asking men to do stuff with him. Yet, we as the children of God, all the time, I did this for God, and I'm so glad that God allowed me to be a part. No, I want to be a part of his ministry. I want to do things with him. Moses would put it this way, Lord, if you're not going, I don't want to go. And as a child of God, we ought to have a desire to do things with him. But watch this. Look at Matthew 26, verse number 40. Matthew 26, verse number 40. Then, and he cometh to the disciples and findeth them asleep. And he saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And notice how it changes in verse number 41. It goes from doing things with him. Notice how it comes back to them. Watch and pray, lest, notice, he turns it to them, not him. The one who's very heavy, the one who's sorrowful, exceeding sorrowful, the one's about to go to the cross, the one that's before the Father, surrendering his will, his selfless attitude, he says to them, watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. He no longer makes it about doing things with him, and he makes it about them. I don't know if you've ever really looked at it, but did you ever think about the reality of when Jesus comes walking on the water? And as he's walking on the water, the Bible says the disciples were afraid. And you see that passage of Scripture where they cry out, Lord, if it be thou thee, Peter says, bid me to come into thee on the water. And what did Jesus say? Come. Come. Notice it's about Peter. He wants to walk to Jesus on the water. Listen, you are in the place tonight of getting to him. But the better place is walking with him. You say, how do you know that? Because when Peter was walking to him, he began to sink. And yes, he knew where to cry out, Lord Jesus, save him. And he saves him. He pulls him up out. But on the way back to the boat, the same storm, same thing that they had toiled in, the tempestuous sea, it was still there. But he's walking with him. with him. Jesus said, I want you to do something with me. Do something with me. Watch with me. And now he's saying, I got to go take you back a step. You've got to see the need to come to me. Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. You're in a battle. He knows this. If I make it about you, maybe you will stay awake. Maybe you will watch and pray. But when it was about him, understand, they could not. Their eyes were heavy and they slept. And they still don't watch and pray here. He comes a second time and finds them asleep. Notice, if you would, in verse 43 of Matthew 26, and he came and found them asleep again, and their eyes were heavy, and he left them, and they went away again, and he prayed a third time, and come to the disciples and said to them, sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. If Jesus was a picture of selflessness, this is a picture tonight of selfishness. What's more concerned? Listen, they were more concerned about sleep than watching and praying. There are many today who are sleeping. Understand, they're spiritually sleeping. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 6, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. When Jesus walked the earth, there was just a little over 300 million people. In 1984, when I graduated from 1985, when I graduated, I did graduate. 1985, when I graduated from high school, we were close to, I understand, just a little over, just a, close to 4 billion people. Tonight, there's close to 8.4 billion people in the world. Jesus says in John 15, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth me and I in him shall bring forth what? Much fruit. Listen, I don't think for a minute that God's hand is shortened that he cannot save. I don't believe for a moment that it's a vine problem. Jesus still seeks to save that which is lost. There are 8.4 billion people. When he was walking with the disciples, he said, lift up your eyes now and look under the fields, for they are ripe. Do you understand? The fields are ripe. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers unto his harvest. You show me in Scripture where the harvest is past. You show me where there's no longer an opportunity for people. Listen, 8.4 billion people in the world. The harvest is great. The vine isn't the problem. The harvest isn't the problem. What's the problem? It's the branch. It's the branch. He's commanded us to be salt. He's commanded us to be light. What we've done, we've taken this little light of mine and we've hid it inside the church. When we are descended on a hill that all the world may see him, it is our responsibility to be salt and light. He's given us the keys to the kingdom. And understand, as God's people, we ought to be on the offense instead of the defense. If we would just be, he's not asking me to save anybody. Somebody said, well, how many people did you lead to Jesus? I hope I led them all. That should be my goal. Everybody I meet ought to lead to him. I can't save anybody. How many people did you see saved in the little questionnaire? Well, God allowed me to be a part of his work. He's the vine. I'm just a branch. All I am is a piece of conduit that he's working through to get to the vine, to the fruit. So here's the problem. Here's why we're not seeing revival. It's not a branch problem. No, it is. It's not a vine problem. It's not a fruit problem. It's us. It's us. If you drove to Kenai, Alaska tonight, you'll find a little church that my son pastors, Emmanuel Baptist Church. A few years ago, him and his wife began to reinvent the soul-winning ministry. Nobody wanted to go. So they would go out themselves and they would begin to knock on doors. And then they started seeing people get saved. And another man started going. And another group started going. The last time I was on their Saturday bus visitation, when I say bus visitation, that means everybody gets on the bus and everybody goes door to door. There were 74 people out knocking on doors on Saturday. They're right now turning their gymnasium into a 450-seat auditorium. 280 seats ain't enough anymore. Watching what God does. Hey, one man put it this way, preacher. Soul winning is addicting. When you see God work through you and somebody come to know Him, it can get addicting. But here's our problem. We're sleeping. Instead of watching with Him and serving with Him and in a selfless understanding, service type of thing for God, instead we're so selfish and self-centered. Watch and pray, lest ye enter in to temptation. Jonah in Jonah 1:6 says, "So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us and that we perish not." And then lastly, I want you to see the last group of people. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 36, it's really the first group of people. They come to the place called Gethsemane. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. Let me ask you tonight, class, who are they with? They're with Jesus. Who have they been following the last 3 years? Jesus. These are men that saw the blind see, the deaf hear, the dumb speak. These are men who saw the miracles. They're the ones that's gathering up the 12 baskets of fragments that remain. They're the ones that's seeing God raise the dead. They're seeing Lazarus come forth. I mean, they have seen it all. At the most exceeding heavy moment in Jesus' ministry up to this point, He takes three of them and says, "Watch with me." But for eight of those disciples, He walks in the garden, and there's only one thing He says to do. Sit. Just sit. I don't know about you. I don't like that position. Now, I understand if God wants me to sit aside a while and He's doing something in my life. But He's going before the Father. He's asking these three to watch with Him. Eight of them that had seen all the miracles of God, the only thing they're asked to do with God, just sit. Doesn't that seem like some? Boy, if they just show up on church. I mean, they've done a lot by sacrificing to be at church. They're never going to see the Mount of Transfiguration. They're never going to have that experience with God. They're never going to get addicted to soul winning. Because the only thing that He can get them to do is just, if they'll just sit. Sit. I'm going to go pray on. Do you understand who they're with? They're with Jesus. At the most horror. Do you understand? He's heavy. He's carrying the anguish, the weight of the world, the Garden of Gethsemane experience, His great sweat, drops of blood. When He comes back to this crowd the first time, His vesture was shed. And these guys are just sitting. Sitting. I can see this group over here. The sitters are usually your complainers. Well, those three always get to do everything. I can hear Thomas. You know, Jesus never chooses me. Jesus never lets me go. No, He came and said, "Follow me. Follow me." And one day Thomas followed Him. Hey, can I help you tonight? Don't be satisfied being a sitter. I don't care what it is. You get busy. You say, "God, use me." Oh, Jesus, use me. Miss Bonnie Randolph sits about the fifth row back in our church, and I was getting ready to go into this ministry. And one of my last messages, I was preaching on being used by God. And she said, Preacher, can you sing a song for me? And I said, "What is you want me to sing?" She's like 86 years old. She's got so much problems with her lungs. She said, would you sing Jesus Use Me? I said, sure, Mr. Bonnie, if I can remember it. And I broke out right then, Jesus, use me. And oh, Lord, don't refuse me. Lord, surely there's a work that I can do. You may not be the Peter, but oh, what God could do with you. You may not be James and John, but you ought to have a desire tonight that, hey, I want to get alone with the Father, and I want to be selfless, and I want that time with Him. Miss Bonnie sat there that day, and right beside her sat Miss Pam, who had gotten saved. You know who brought her to church? Miss Bonnie. Right beside her was her other caregiver. You know who brought her to church? Right there was her cleaner. Miss Bonnie had been, and she said, the only thing I want to do is I want God to use me. I don't want to sit the bench. God, would you use me? Use me. How many believe God wants to use you tonight? God has big plans for your life. I can't get over these eight. They're just sitting. Now, before we beat them up, they get it. Something changes after the cross. When Jesus opens them to Scripture, most of these men are going to die martyrs for the cause of Christ. They're going to shake their known world for the cause of Christ. But at this point in their ministry, they're sitters. So which group do you fit in tonight? Are we just hoping that they make it to church? Boy, I sure hope they're in their seat. Ding, ding, ding. You should be so happy that I'm here. And we are. But boy, God's got so much more for you. You're missing out on what God has for you. Perhaps you're the person that's sitting here and God's taking you a little farther. And maybe you're teaching a Sunday school class, driving a bus route. Maybe you're ministering. Maybe vacation Bible school's coming. And you say, well, preacher, I just don't want to be a sitter. Hey, you can come, do something, sign up. John Rice said, I would rather have sailed and sunk than a rotted dry dock. God, would you use my life? Use my life. Don't be satisfied being a sitter. Oh, by the way, the sitters are closer to the world than they are Jesus. Say, how do you know that? Judas comes in with his mob. There's a fourth guy. I lied. Judas comes with the mob, remember? They have the staves, and they're with religion, you know. And here they come. And the Bible says when Peter pulls out his sword, those other dudes are with him, by the way. They're right here in the middle picture. When Jesus is speaking to Peter and James and John, the other disciples are there. I can't help but think when Judas was coming through the gate and these men that were sitting there, hey, look, there's Judas. Hey, Judas, where are you going? What's all the big, hey, where's everybody going? And they just began to walk. Here they are. And they also deny Him and forsake Him. The sitters are always the ones who are closer to the world. Their music, their communication, what they watch, they don't want to be closer. Wouldn't you think somebody who is saved and on their way to heaven would want to be closer to God than anything else in life? Yet it seems to be a battle. Paul puts it this way, the flesh strives against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. Here we sit tonight, and we are one of three groups of people. You're someone who is selfless, and you're spending time with Him. How long has it been since you got alone with God and just spent some time with Him? How long has it been since you went to that place, that moment where you just surrendered all and you said, not my will, but thine be done? How long has it been since He asked you to do things with Him? What are you doing with Him tonight? What are you doing with Him? And what are you doing for you? What would it take for you just to go to sleep? and not do what he asks? What would it take for you not to pray with him and watch with him and serve with him and love him? What would it take tonight? Somebody saying something wrong? Somebody not? What would it take? Oh, their eyes were heavy. Jesus, I'm exceeding sorrowful. Could you imagine me coming to you? I mean, Daniel, if you came to me and you said, Pastor Kelly, I'm sorrowful. I guess my heart's broken. That's okay. We're talking about Jesus looking to his men. Do something. I need you. I need you. We're talking about people being a branch. That's his choice. That's how he chooses to get the gospel into the world. The people will never know who Jesus is if you and I aren't willing to be the branch. There'll come a day, hey, when you and I are going to stand and give an account before a holy judge, and I want you to understand we're going to give an account for what it is that we've done with the branch. Oh, he said, if I abide in you and you and me. Hey, you understand his spirit, what God can flow through you into others' life? How are they ever going to see purity? How are they ever going to see righteousness? How are they ever going to see God if you don't go to work and be who you're supposed to be? A branch. Maybe you're sitting here tonight. And there's a little bit of selfishness. Doesn't take much to get you mad. Perhaps you've uttered the very words, I'm just not going back. I'm done. It's amazing to me how many Christians I deal with that are done. Done doing what? Are you done being selfish and self-centered and self? How about this? How about you just follow the scripture? Pray for them. Do good to them. Love them. Brother, no, I want you to understand. You're missing out on God's best. Jesus is saying, do it with me. And when you fail to do it with him, he's going to say, I'm going to have to bring you back where you focus on you. Because when you're focused on you, at least, you'll not enter into temptation. And some of you are just satisfied. Lord, I don't want to be a sitter. Perhaps tonight you need to be the first one at the altar saying, Jesus, use me. And oh, Lord, don't refuse me. Lord, surely there's work. I'm telling you, there is so many things out there that needs to be done for Jesus. I'm in Fort Dodge, Iowa, at the Spiritual Warfare Conference. And there is a missionary there. He's a mechanic. Barely talk. But you know what he does? He works on church buses. He's got every cert that you can have. He's got every... And he travels from state to state. He goes into a church and he says, God sent us here to... And he works on church buses. So little boys and girls can ride. He says it's just as important for our church kids to have a good bus as it is for the public school kids. I said, man, you're right. It's amazing to me how we think, well, I'm not the pastor. I'm not the youth pastor. And I'm not the Sunday school teacher. But you know what? You are a neighbor. You are a mom. You are a dad. God can use you. You could go and you can cook, clean. What God could do at camp with you this week to make camp just a little smoother. You may be a professional fire builder. It's amazing to me. The excuses. And how we're just so happy sitting. I know this. The sitters never experience what the selfish people. And they'll never experience what those who God takes a little further will experience. But you'll never experience this until you die to self. Lord, I want to love you more than I ever have before. In my life, Lord, be glorified. Lord, you're so easy to adore. Lord, I want to love you more. My life, Lord, is yours to control. I wonder tonight why heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You're seated here. And you would say to me, you know what, preacher, I'll be honest. I'm not in any of those groups. I would be in that last group. I'd be amongst Judas. Those that would come up and Jesus would say, friend, Jesus desires to be your friend tonight. I wonder how many here tonight could uplift their hand and say, Brother Kelly, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I died, heaven would be my home. There is no doubt in my life I'm saved and on my way to heaven. Can you hold your hand up high? That's me. That's me. Boy, isn't that good? I wonder how many would raise their hand and say, Preacher, I don't know that, but I'd like to know that. I'd like for someone to show me from the Scripture how I can know for sure that if I died, heaven would be my home. I want to know Him. Would you slip up your hand? That's me. Well, no one else look around. Thank you. I see those hands. Others tonight, that's me, Preacher. That's me. That's me. Those three hands that went up, I'd encourage you right now. There's men on either side and ladies on either side that would love to take the Bible. If you're a lady, they'll take you as a lady. And if you're a man, they'll take you as a man. And they'll show you from the Scripture, not religion, not what man thinks, what not man feels, but what the Word of God says about him being eternally saved. I wonder if one of you just get up right now and say, yes, that's what I want. I want to know that so much. Not just pray over me. I want to know that tonight. God, I want to know that. Would you come right now? Right now, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one else is looking around. That's me. That's me, Preacher. Would you stand up? You raise your hand. You know it. You know you need it. That's me, Preacher. I want to know that tonight. Would you come? Would you come? Right now, stand up in your seat, move people out of your way, and come on down and let God do what only God can do in your life. I wonder how many would say, Preacher, I find myself a sitter. Would you be honest and slip up your hand? That's me. I've just been sitting. I want God to do more with my life. I want God to use me. Preacher, I don't want to be a sitter. I don't want to be on the bench. God, I want to walk with you and fellowship with you tonight. I wonder how many you'd find yourself selfish and self-centered and self-serving. That's me, Preacher. That's me. I wonder how many would say, Preacher, I want to be with Him. I'm all in. I'm all in. Father, we love you tonight and thank you so much for your word and for your truth. And Lord, you saw the hands that were raised quickly, Lord. They don't know that they're truly saved. Lord, I pray, Lord, before they leave this place tonight, Lord, they place their faith and trust on you. They know you love them. Lord, you desire for them to, Lord, have a home in heaven. But Lord, more than that, to have a relationship with you. Lord, to be born and be part of the family of God. God, as we look tonight, we know most Sunday nights, Lord, we talk about the church, the people who are, these are the people who do. These are the people who are faithful. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that they'll not go out of here tonight just comfortable being part of the group, but just sitters. Pastor, what could I do? Lord, I know as we travel, I haven't had one pastor complain about he has so many volunteers he don't know what to do with them. Lord, I know without a shadow of a doubt, you have big plans for every single person in here tonight. God, you desire them to see great and mighty things for your name's sake. Perhaps we have some Peter, James, and Johns, Lord. They've seen good things, wonderful things. They've been on the mountaintop with you. God, now their eyes are heavy. They're tired. Maybe they're older. Not as young as they once were, and they're letting others do, but God, I know you have us here, Lord. If you still have us here, breathing in, breathing out, you have a purpose and a plan. God, help us not to go asleep, but to be awake. Be ready to be the branch that you'd have us to be. And Lord, more than anything, God, give us a desire to be with you and to do your will like we've never had before. We love you and praise your holy name.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet here this evening. Let's turn to page 516. 516. You need to come and pray. You come and pray. Those that raise their hands about salvation, why don't you move now? As others come to pray, I'll send somebody right to you to talk to you about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you need to come forward, you come.